know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening. Happy Friday. I got here to Twin Peaks. We're in the Buckhead location. And Mike Bell, I walk up and you're like, you're not going to believe this. When it came to our Hey Man Ale. Now, what's the situation?
Apparently, now, I don't know if it's just a hipster thing. I mean, these are working class guys. We got dudes that are doing the long lunch. But apparently, unlike Kennesaw, where they can't keep our beer, like, you know, in stock.
Right.
Here, they had an extra keg just laying around.
We got to tap that.
Yeah, so we on it. So we got a keg tapped. It's ice cold. So if you're looking for a Hey Man, we got it. So go grab yourself one. But I had to go back there in the kitchen. And then they said, get the hell out of the kitchen. And then I would talk to the manager.
Who are you?
I said, hey, man, we need to get this beer down on ice. And, but luckily, the keg was in the chiller room, so it's good to go.
Perfect.
So it's right now at 28 degrees, and I got a nice cold mug myself at a Hey Man. So come and get some while we're here.
All right, man. That means there's plenty for you to make your way down here to the Piedmont location, which is where we'll be all the way up until around 7 o'clock tonight, guys. Lots to get to. Playoff action this weekend. But we're going to start first with what we kind of left the show with yesterday, and that was, what is Georgia doing with their OC situation? You know, there were rumors out there that Mr. Grant was going to get the job.
Eddie Grant?
Yeah.
We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
No, not that guy. No, not him. Eddie Grant, G-R-A-N, OC for Kentucky. And then by the end of the show yesterday, we got word that no, he's staying. It's not true. There were varying reports. All right, here's what we know as of right now. And Seth Emerson's going to join us at 4 o'clock for our dog report. He writes for Dog Nation. He's on top of this. But, Mike, it looks like the guy we were talking about all along is getting the job.
Yeah, James Coley, and there was some correlation, though, between Eddie Grant and Coley. They were both on Jimbo Fisher's staff at Florida State a couple years back. So that could have worked. I mean, two ways of looking at it. Either there was no job of any kind offered, there was a job offered, but maybe it was an O-line or a running backs coach position. Or Sam Pittman's obviously the O-line coach, but they maybe wanted to get Grant in there because Kirby liked what he was seeing. Or maybe they did offer him the OC job. Either way, he goes on Twitter yesterday, well, before we got off the air, and said he wasn't taking the job. So whether or not James Coley was the guy, some people are saying, is this the tail wagging the dog that Kirby had to go and do his thing and lock up Coley? There were talks, or at least there were rumors, that Jimbo Fisher was trying to get James Coley earlier last summer before he started his staff at Texas A&M. But anyway, he's going to be your OC. It's tough when you have a connection to Miami under Al Golden, because that's going to make everybody go, ew.
Yeah.
But he's the guy that has been up in the booth. And for all these last two seasons where George is putting up crazy numbers running it, he's up there with Jim Chaney.
Yeah, for dog fans, I think this is what most dog fans expected to happen. Again, we don't know if, you know, this got rushed because of the news that leaked out yesterday. Either way, you got your guy. He's in-house. He knows the personnel, Mike, and they're not going to stray away from what they do well. By the way, Seth Emerson writes for The Athletic. He will join us at 4 o'clock, so make sure you're around and hear what Seth has to say coming up at 4 o'clock.
Kirby's saying that, talking about James Coley, he's been a critical part of our staff, as we just pointed out, since we came to Georgia. He's done an incredible job in all aspects of his responsibilities, including coaching wide receivers for 2 years, serving as co-offensive coordinator the past season, coaching quarterbacks, and recruiting. Obviously a strong recruiter for sure.
No doubt. 404-741-0929. You can always text the show. It's also our phone number. Find us across all social media platforms, guys. Like the show on Facebook, on 92.9 The Game, also on Instagram, and of course on Twitter. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929.
Had a bit of an incident this morning.
What's that?
Well, I'm, you know me, I'm always making fun of myself. I'm not too proud to admit when I've done something really stupid. I put the pictures up today. I woke up this morning and I was,
so
I'm not really functioning yet, and I hadn't had my cup of Joe, and I got icy hot right next to the Colgate because, you know, my arms are bad and I'm getting old and everything. So sure enough, man, I load up the Quip toothbrush with a nice big mouthful of icy hot. And needless to say, that wasn't good. Luckily, I caught myself about 1,001, 1,000. This isn't right.
Right before you were about to put it in your mouth.
No, it got in my pie hole.
Oh!
Yeah. So I'm like, bah, 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 bah. So Listerine, milk, all sorts of different things to try to get that taste out.
Now, I'll be honest. Yeah. I've never tasted that stuff. I don't even know.
Don't
I don't
do
want to know.
Now, when we were kids, I think everybody, maybe we just did this in the schools I went to, but as a prank, you'd always put some Bengay or some Icy Hot in somebody's jockstrap.
Right.
That was something you'd do in football.
Play a game.
Needless to say, don't floss with it and definitely don't brush your teeth with it.
So. You got lucky, bro. Honestly.
Yeah, so that was the start to my day, and then it's been uphill since then. It's been good ever since then.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we live in a world in which most of us believe that everyone is evil. And it's really not true because today, man, I had to run to, like, Home Depot. And I get out of the car, and I'm searching for something in the car. And lo and behold, I get whatever I need to get out of the car. I close the door. I'm running in. I had to return something. I wanted to get something else. I think the light bulb in the refrigerator went out. So, I mean, little, you know, minuscule things. And I get in the store, and I'm in the return line. And I get to the front, and the lady's, you know, returning the items. And a guy walks in, and he's got my wallet.
Holy shnikes.
And he's got my ID, and he goes, hey, is this you? And he's holding my ID. And, of course, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm the black guy on the picture there. So, I'm like petrified because I'm like, where the hell is my wallet? Like, how does this guy get my wallet? Right. And the guy's like, sir, your wallet fell out of the car when you got out, and I saw it, and I was trying to get your attention, but you kept walking into the store.
Were you wearing Daisy Dukes?
Who knows? I'm like, what the hell happened? So, I'm wondering if I had a hole in my pocket.
Okay.
But I wanted to thank this guy, Mike. I actually wanted to give him some money because this stuff never happens
to me.
And literally, the guy just hands me my stuff and walks out. And I'm walking out to the parking lot after, you know, I exchanged my stuff. I'm trying to get his attention because the lady was in the middle of it. And he's gone. So whoever you were today, sir, at the Home Depot there right off of Sandy Plains, thank you for returning
that?
My wallet.
Nice. That's good karma. That's good karma on a Friday right there. That's good people.
Everyone is not evil.
Good things are happening every day, just not done by a lot of people that we know.
That's right. That's right.
So it's good to see there's some goodness in the world.
When is the last time you've done a good deed? Because it made me feel all weird. Because I'm in the car now. I'm like, when's the last time I've done something like that?
The last time I did a good deed, it was born out of frustration, to be quite honest with you. I was at Publix loading up yesterday, getting wings and all my usual stuff, and my healthy assortment of food, my Entenmann's chocolate chips, and there was a Georgia Tech student in front of me, and his credit card wouldn't work, and all he was trying to do was get like a quart of milk, and his debit card wasn't working, and so I got you, pal. He's like, what? I go, I got this. I go, just bring it up. I got it. He's like, the kid was from another part of the world, could not understand what was going on, and then so finally the cashier goes, he's buying the milk.
gotcha.
So again, yes, there was a small degree. If this is a pie chart, there's some altruistic feelings, but for the most part, it was just, let's go, Sparky. I got to go eat some wings. But anyway, well, that's my good deed for the week.
Good for you. It's been probably, I think this story happened 2 years ago, last time. You know how you go on the ATM line, and I've said this. Now it takes your card, right? It used to be you slip in, slip out, and it takes your card until you finish everything.
Which I don't like.
I hate it. So the guy in front of me in a big truck basically leaves his ATM card in the machine and drives off. And I pulled his card, ended up calling his business. He ends up getting the card back. That's the last time I've done something like that. But it makes you feel good, you know, when you give something back to somebody.
Right.
Because there's nothing like being without your phone, being without your wallet.
Oh, you're a lost puppy.
You're lost. So anywho, Mike's story today, he puts Icy Hot in his grill, and I get my wallet returned to me by some nice gentleman.
Now, before we get to the headlines, though, as I said, it was all uphill from there. Last little, they get caught up with Mike and Carl. So I'm going to Vegas next weekend, right? So I I always like to check my credit cards. There's so much credit card fraud going on. So I check one of my credit card balances. Guess who just gave me a nice big bump? Capital One.
Did they really?
So Becky's like, no, this is a bad idea. So the credit card company has just upped my credit less than a week from a trip to Vegas. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, right? That's not a good idea, simply because I know you, and I know you'll be like, Well, I shouldn't do it, but they just bumped my car.
Be a chandelier bar. Shot, 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 shot. So I'm like the kid, literally. This Christmas came late this year, to be honest with you. So very happy. So if you come in here, who knows? I don't know if this is a violation of state liquor laws. Uncle Mike and Uncle Carl might actually buy you a shot here at the bar today at Twin Peaks between now and 6:30.
I'm feeling that good. I got my wallet back. I am feeling great. 404-741-0929 is the number. Now, today, guys, Thomas Dimitroff, general manager for our Atlanta Falcons, came on our radio station this morning with John freaking Hugh Douglas. We are going to play that interview in its entirety for you coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Couple of things that we learned from this interview today, and he was asked, you know, a couple of things that, Mike, again, the initial press conference with Coach Quinn and Thomas laid out some things for us. But since then, a lot has happened, right? They've hired Sark, got rid of Sark, should I say, and hired Cutter and Malarkey. They've got now a time management coach. So Thomas Dimitroff, you know, this morning on the show was talking about going out and getting veteran coordinators and what it meant. But I thought that one of the most important things he talked about was how him and Dan Quinn realize how important this upcoming season is going to be. And I've been saying this. This is a big offseason, you know, not because we won seven or eight games and we had guys hurt. It's a big offseason because, again, we are still within our time slot. Right. We are still within that window, as Mike and I talk about, where we can get back to the playoffs and potentially get to a Super Bowl. You know, we still have Julio and Matt and Snoo and all these guys.
Right, right.
So he acknowledged that, Mike, which means if it goes wrong, somebody is going to lose their job, and there will be more heads that will roll.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would stop with Dan Quinn. I do think the personnel department at some point, Arthur Blank's got to look at this and say, how come I haven't had the guys in the trenches? How come I haven't had guys on offensive line, and I've had to plug in free agents? And, you know, one year we got it really right. 16, it worked out perfectly. And that was also thanks to Kyle Shanahan, because it was one of his guys from the Redskins, Chris Chester, who helped to solidify the right side of the line. But getting back to, you know, this year, it's another season where there's a huge question mark about fixing this O-line. Last year it was about fixing Schweitzer. We brought Fusco in. He lasted a couple of games before he got injured. So, Carl, two guards and a tackle. Not the easiest thing to do, to be quite honest with you, in the offseason. And with a team, as you said, that has Super Bowl aspirations.
So you will hear what Thomas had to say. And, again, we'll play some sound for you a little bit later on in the show from that interview. But, you know, there are a lot of things we got to get right. Now, the previous year or the offseason before we go to the Super Bowl, Mike and I laugh about it now, but our owner said, hey, I need three starters, and we got them.
He literally, Arthur Blank, before the draft goes, I need three starters, you numbskulls, from this draft. And we got Debo, you got Deion Jones, you got Keanu Neal, and a Devondre Campbell. Oh, by the way, Poole was an undrafted free agent who also contributed. So they were able to, I think to me, that's Dan Quinn putting his stamp on that draft because defense is his forte. So we took those rookies, we went all the way to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish it up. Now, guys, you've got the defense in place. You got to go get one tackle. Still got to find a way, and you'll hear the guys ask Thomas Dimitroff the question about Grady Jarrett and how do we make that work because he's not going to come cheap. We got less holes on the defensive side, certainly, than we do on the offensive side. Hey, real quick, the Braves, by the way, because we're going to hear from the guys with the interview with TD coming up.
And this is good news.
Braves, by the way, I don't know if this is necessarily good news, but sad Sam Freeman. Womp, womp, womp. A $1.575 guaranteed deal. Gosman on $935 million. Because remember, you got salary control on Gosman when they made the trade with the Orioles. And Dan Winkler in the bullpen. Braves have got zero remaining players eligible for salary arbitration. But when are the Braves going to go get one more setup man or that starting pitcher? We were talking about it yesterday. It's very strange how hot stove isn't really hot this year.
It isn't hot. There is still money to be spent. There are still needs to be had for our Atlanta Braves. I was saying the good news is we retained the number 9 pick after we didn't sign our pick last year.
And arbitrators ruled on our favor.
Yes.
Major League Baseball Players Association was making a beef on that one, and they said, no, you're good.
From that standpoint, it's good news. Again, that's a pick, and baseball drafts are weird. But, again, you're continuing to add talent. But a lot of people thought we were going to lose that pick because we ultimately didn't sign the kid.
Last year, I guess it came out to be what Kyler Murray wound up being, the ace pick right around that area, too.
All right, guys. Thomas Dimitroff, Falcons general manager. What did he have to say? Where is this team headed? He even talks about focusing on the NFL draft. It's on the way here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come through. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We've got headlines on the way. Right now, though, we want to give you a chance to win $1,000 before we hear from Thomas Dimitroff.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
trash. T-R-A-S-H. H.
Use it in a sentence. The Falcons' offensive line was trash. Trash, guys. Text that to 72881 for your shot at $1,000 right now. You got until the end of the hour to get it in, so call, or I should say text, and put in that word trash.
Yeah, so you need to listen the entire show. You never know when you're going to hear the code word.
Darn right.
Hey, man, Thomas Dimitroff on with our morning show. The first thing they asked him was, how hard was it to move on from Steve Sarkisian?
Such a good football man and a creative guy, and he worked really hard and well with our group, and Matt and Julio and the crew, you know, responded well to him. I think any time that you have a head coach looking at, you know, the entire package and the entire staff, that's never easy to lose someone. But I know that Dan and our organization did what we thought was the best for the entire group moving forward, meaning that, you know, you have a new and very veteran offensive coordinator coming in here, and that person in Dirk Cutter is going to be really good for this offense, keeping it focused, keeping it disciplined and accountable. I think that's what the offense needs to continue to be prolific.
Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff, once you made the decisions to move on from Keith Armstrong and Steve Sarkisian and Mark Weinmanuel and bring in the new coaches that you brought in, you have a staff now, Thomas, that is made up of three former offensive coordinators of the Atlanta Falcons, and now with, if you include Coach Quinn, four head coaches in the NFL on the current staff. You are bucking kind of the convention where everybody else seems to be reaching for that 30-something-year-old non-head coach who can come in and light it up like Sean McVay. Was this the intention to go with this kind of veteran group of coaches?
Yeah, no question. To my earlier point, this organization has a lot of energy. Obviously, Dan sets the tone with the way that he is as far as being passionate and fiery about this football game and about this, you know, game in general. And I think the addition of veteran coaches with a very, you know, upbeat group of football players and coaches, again, is a really good balance. I believe in it 100%. I look back on my earlier years as a general manager, and I remember wanting a whole bunch of young guys in that staff talking about players, and it's amazing when you start to, you know, sprinkle in the right veteran talent in the coaching and the personnel staff. It's really, really important for perspective. And I think not only the perspective, but the ability of the coaches that we've added, I think is going to be very beneficial to this group.
Now, Thomas, over the past few years since I've been here, you've kind of followed a pattern of the way that you conduct business as far as free agencies are concerned. Well, free agents are concerned is, you know, getting offensive linemen in free agency, and, you know, building through the draft with your young defensive line. Is it safe to say that same pattern is going to be followed this year as well?
Well, I think, look, we look at it, and I know I repeat myself every year, but it is truly how we look at it. We try to figure out the values on both sides, whether it is free agency or the draft. In our minds, I mean, I think that you've seen a wave in the NFL right now where people are now investing in interior offensive linemen in free agency, though a lot more expensive than when you played. When you see some of the numbers, some of the guys that may be perceived as midline starters are making a lot of money at the offensive guard position. That said, they may be a much better value in the end, financially I'm talking about, than, you know, going out in free agency and trying to acquire a tackle. Tackles are expensive. So the point is, I think you need to look at both sides, draft and free agency, and see how it all plays out, considering the financial elements as well.
Thomas Dimitroff joining John and Hugh. Speaking of that, the draft in April, is your big board settling in? I know that you can't know at the position you're at who's going to, you know, be available to you, but you have a pretty good idea of going to the combine, what the game plan is here in terms of interior alignment. Is that going to be the focus, or is it a position situation, or is it best player available?
You know, we are definitely, you know, based off of, you know, our philosophy here has and will continue to be based off of need. Now, that said, of course, we're not going to make any, you know, flippant or unintelligent moves as far as looking at a player of talent that we think could benefit our team. That said, we're not going to go out and draft a, you know, quarterback, the first pick overall that we have, of course. So, you know, again, that depends on how it all plays out. Like, honestly, last year, we had a lot of focus on offensive line going into the draft as well. And there was, you know, I'd mentioned this before, there was a run on offensive linemen early, and then we were very fortunate to be staring down the barrel of a guy like Calvin Ridley, and we made that move. But things are always changing. You can go into a draft with a big, strong, very definitive philosophy, and yet you also have other elements and other scenarios in your pocket that you know can happen if picks go a certain way. So to answer your question, our focus will be continue to be on the sides, both sides of, you know, big and strong inside, and we need to continue to look there. Again, that said, if something comes available that will, you know, bolster our athletic positions on the field, then we will consider it as well.
How high do cornerbacks rate on your draft board this year for you?
How high? I'm sorry, Hugh?
Yes, how high? Like you know, it's order of like, say, necessity for your team. How high? Where is that position for you on your draft board this year, if you could talk about that?
Well, I think, you know, it's another strong consideration for us because, again, in my mind, I think you can never have too many corners. We always talk about depth. You know, that position, it is important. Not only do you need one and two, you need one, two, and three, and quite honestly, you need four as well when you're playing dime. You need to be very, very focused on how you put together your secondary. I think, you know, last year we came in thinking very highly of our secondary, and, you know, we also drafted, you know, when we went in the draft in the second round, and we end up pulling a corner that we thought was going to be very, you know, fit in very well with us and has excellent ball skills. That's something that we will continue to look at. We know that Kazee has done a really good job for us as well. So where he situates on the field will depend on what we do in the draft or in free agency at that position. So, again, depth at that position is vital.
Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff with John and Hugh talking about the Falcons and where they stand now here. 2 months ahead of the opening of free agency, Thomas, you've done the coaches. You've settled that issue for the moment. So that's done. You can check that off your board here. Next up, your own free agents. Where do we stand with Grady, with Julio, and with your own free agents in terms of reworking deals or cuts to make room for cap room?
Well, I've mentioned this a number of times. I mean, Grady is our focus coming out of this season. He was our focus, and we tabled it last, during the season because we didn't want to be, you know, distracting anyone. He was a complete warrior about it. I mean, to his credit, I can't say enough about how Grady approached the season. You know, he is a soldier 100% and a warrior, and that's great. We would love to have him back for years to come. Not only is he an important part, as you know, on the field, but he's an important part off for us. So we'll continue to work on that. I've also mentioned that, you know, I have had ongoing conversations with CAA about both Grady and Julio. They both are with CAA, so it's convenient. It's not a one-stop shop, believe me, but it can be good. I have a good working relationship with them as with Todd France and Jimmy Sexton, and so we have conversations. Those will be focuses, of course. We have a number of other free agents that we need to take care of, but again, it will be contingent on how we take care of these guys right now at the front end of our priority list, because of course, you know, you only have a certain amount of money, right? And we all know how that goes. And we have some expensive people on this football team. So it comes down to creativity as well.
Talking with Thomas Dimitroff, is it your intention to be able to free up enough money to make a splash in free agency again this year?
Well, you know, I think splash is a definition that it's loose for me, because some years splashes are making legitimate free agent renegotiations within your own and re-signings with, you know, within your own team, because that's very important for us. We want to retain the guys that we know are going to be beneficial for us for years to come. As far as going out in the market, you know, we have a keen eye on it right now. But sometimes, again, that splash can be a really good midline guy at a position that we know is not a real flashy position, but it's a guy that's going to help potentially, you know, Matt throw a ball or you know, whoever on the team accomplish what they need to accomplish. So we will be looking directly into free agency, but I'm not exactly sure, you know, if we're going to be, you know, first day participants or we're going to let it settle a little bit.
Well, it's going to be certainly a fascinating offseason for all of us Falcons fans, Thomas. Just to end this, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes this morning, your kind of first thoughts about next season and what, you know, what you have to clean up. What is the priority area? Is it, everybody agree, offensive line, or is it just kind of a general offensive thing? What's the number one area for you?
Well, again, I would say on both sides. Both fronts are going to be important for us to make sure that we're not only building and shoring up the people that we already have, and they need to, you know, report ready to go and achieve consistently, but also make sure that we have the proper depth, because both of those positions, especially on the defensive line, it's a rotation for sure. The offensive line, you know, guards and tackles can go down, and you know, a team knows that they need to have a depth talent to step up, you know, and be a spot starter particularly. It's not always easy to get depth that are, you know, again, starters. You usually can't get a second and third wave of offensive linemen who are starters, as we've said before, and you know this. Those players are going somewhere else, and they're making multi-million-dollar contracts if they are, you know, full-on frontline starters. So It's just being very particular about how you work your depth and make sure that they are ready if they are called upon.
Thomas, appreciate you taking a few minutes. Thank you very much. Very fascinating offseason. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Always appreciate it, gents. Thanks.
Thomas Dimitroff, Falcons general manager, on the morning show. And Mike and I are going to react to some of the things he talked about, some of the things we think, you know, where our organization is headed. But here's the deal, guys. The pressure's on. And, you know, I can truly say that. I felt this way a couple of years ago, Mike, when Mike Smith got fired.
Right.
And, you know, it's no secret. Thomas has even talked about it. I think it was on a podcast with Jeff Schultz where he said, you know, he thought at that point it might be the end of his tenure here, listening to this show and listening to Mike talk about it. So this is different. You fast forward. We've gone to the playoffs. We've been to a Super Bowl. We came up short. Now you've got to get it right. And if it doesn't get fixed for whatever reason, as I said, I think heads are going
to
roll.
Well, I mean, two ways of looking at it. I mean, yeah, you didn't win the Super Bowl, and unfortunately you didn't go to the playoffs this year after making the trip last season. But so what? I mean, you know, we didn't win it. You know, I mean, nobody in this organization should get any kind of pass in any shape or form. You know, I mean, we've got to go get it done. And because of whatever issue, however you want to chalk it up, and Thomas did talk about, yes, you can't account for some of the injuries, but we've got no depth at offensive line. It killed us this year. Couldn't run the ball. That's why it made what Matt did so impressive. But now, with all the things coming in, well, you know what Dirk Cutter wants to do? Yeah, he'll run the ball if he has a run game. Don't have a run game. We're right back where we started, Carl. We've become one-dimensional. How far can we go with that?
We'll let you hear more from Thomas Dimitroff, and we've got some headlines on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks. Come down and have a Hey Man Ale.
In Buckhead.
It's Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the Dawgs and their decision to elevate James Coley to the OC position. Now, he's a guy that was in-house, but it became official today. And, Mike, we talked a lot yesterday about where Georgia was going. It looked like, or at least it sounded like, that they may have gone out of house with a potential hire from Kentucky, but that did not happen. So 4 o'clock, Seth Emerson joins us. Make sure you stay around for that.
Yeah, and again, it's been sort of a mixed bag from a lot of Georgia fans that have been talking to us the last couple of days. And
well, is there somebody they wanted?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it because Coley was part of a Florida State team that obviously had tremendous success. And, you know, Mark Stoops wound up going up to Kentucky, and eventually we heard that Eddie Grant, you know, landed there as well. But Coley, yes, he was at Miami. There's like this stain. What was that movie? The Human Stain. There's a stain about anybody associated with the old Al Golden years. But I think Georgia fans have to realize that this guy's been up there in the booth, for better or for worse, with Chaney. And who knows? Maybe when Chaney's doing something harebrained, he's trying to talk him out of it. I don't know. But a guy with obviously intimate experience with this team, knows the personnel, knows what Kirby's trying to do. It makes perfect sense. We thought he was going to get the job anyway. That's why when all this stuff, whether it was a bunch of bunk or what, or maybe Kirby wanted to have Eddie Grant on the staff, maybe working with running backs or whatever, it got people in Kentucky fired up to go, he said no to Georgia.
Yeah, I know. I saw those reports. And, you know, guys, listen, sometimes you get offered a job, if in fact it was offered. And Mike and I always talk about this. Don't screw up happy. For much, you know, as far as we know, Eddie Grant can be very happy at Kentucky. Right. And I told Bo this yesterday. There's no pressure there. There's none.
You've earned enough goodwill.
Yes.
You know, I was talking, it was funny, sidebars. We were talking today about Sean Payton, and people were saying, could you root for the Saints? No, there's no way anyone could root for the Saints. You're arch rival. But I was saying, do I wish I had Sean Payton here the last 13 years? Yes, I do. And the guy said, well, what about those 7-9 seasons? I said, winning a Super Bowl in Atlanta would have bought you a decade of goodwill. Winning a World Series for Bobby Cox bought him a decade of incompetence after that. So, I mean, it's all relative. I would certainly have been happier you know, if you have a – and if so, bring back to Kentucky. You win 10 games. Those people are happy as hell. They beat Penn State. They got to go to Florida on a New Year's Day bowl game.
Yeah. The Sean Payton argument to me is one where for Atlanta fans it's difficult because you don't like the team.
And you don't like the guy personally.
But the dude gets it done.
Yes.
And for me, that's what I'm all about. But you're right, Mike. And this is why I'll be honest. I think if they win it, I'm talking about the Saints – it wouldn't surprise me. I've said this. If Sean Payton, you know, when Breeze calls it quits and we know they signed a short deal, that he steps away as well. When I say step away, I mean his next challenge. I don't think he's leaving the NFL, but I do think, you know, there'll be no more to prove in New Orleans for him. And I think, you know, everybody talked about Jason Garrett. If Garrett loses in the playoffs.
Right.
And Payton ends up back in the Super Bowl, it would not surprise me if they turn the page there in Dallas and maybe try to go after him.
Well, Jerry Jones has coveted Sean Payton for many years. And again, because he's sort of attached at the hip with Drew Brees, to your point, when Brees does eventually walk away, he's 55 now, take a year off. Sean Payton's got that kind of, you know, a little, you know, kind of cracking wise, a bit of an acerbic personality. Might be fun for a TV analyst position for a year. And then get back in the NFL. I mean, we're already, you know, mapping out his future. First things first, they've got to handle their business against the physical Eagles team that feels embarrassed, was humiliated during the regular season. How much better will they be with Nick Foles? They've, I think, about 8.5, 7.5 around the numbers been dropping as an underdog. But still.
It's the biggest spread of any game this weekend.
The Rams are the team which everybody thinks would be the one team that could go to New Orleans because they did at least take him to the fourth quarter in the regular season.
We're going to find out this weekend. Speaking of the games, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
How you feeling, man? You got your range back?
Yeah, man, finally. Colts Chiefs, that's the early game. Tomorrow, 4:35 on NBC. Chiefs a 5.5-point favorite. And then you got the Cowboys and Rams. Rams a 7.5-point favorite at home in L.A. That game's on Fox at 8:15. And speaking of the games, we're going to let you hear from a couple of guys that are participating, including Andrew Luck, whose team a lot of people are saying are going to go in and beat the Patriots. And I'm one of them, believe it or not. But before we get to all of that, let's hear from our head coach, Dan Quinn, because, Mike, everybody now that these hires have happened wonder if Matt Ryan had a say in this. Here is how Dan Quinn responded to that particular question.
Matt was not involved in the interviews in any way or at all, but I do believe that a past relationship of working together can pay off because sometimes you can get, you know, moving more quickly and having the ability to, you know, get to the next space more quickly because you do have a good relationship. And I think the same can be said with Mike Mularkey. And I think what both men will realize, especially in Mike's case, I would say, is that Matt is a different quarterback and leader since the last time they were around him. And like all good players, you see their growth and their development. And I know both of them have spoken, you know, with Matt and with other guys on the offense, and they're pumped to do it. So I would say in no way was he involved in the process, but I do think there's benefits for sure about having a previous relationship.
Matt wasn't involved in the process at all. I asked Dan, you know, last week, and I said, you know, would Matt be involved? And he said, in the type of OC, but not in the particular OC. I mean, okay, we'll take Dan at face value, but, I mean, you're, you know, on the hook for another $150 million till he ends his career as a Falcon, you know, with Matt Ryan and the guy that everything flows through. You're not going to give him – he's not going to have any input into this decision. I call shenanigans on that.
Ditto. Listen, it's Friday. I'm not going to disrespect Dan Quinn.
And the Brotherhood.
But let's cut the crap. You went out and hired his two previous coordinators, and he had no say. He doesn't have to be involved in the interview process. We act like we live in a world where guys don't communicate in so many other various ways.
Right.
I had a guy send me this, Mike, 2 weeks ago, and I laughed. And guess what? It turned out to be true. He said, Dukes, did you see who Sarah Ryan followed on social media? I said, no. He said, go look. Wait, I'll send it to you. You know who it was? Dirk Cutter's wife.
Oh, there you go.
Right? I'm like, well, who cares? We live in this world where guys talk all the time.
Right.
The point is, I totally agree with you, Mike Bell. I just think Dan Quinn would be better off by saying, you know what? He's the dude, and we took his word for what was going to work, and I wanted to put my job on the line instead of clowning around with us as if we don't know anything. Like, well, no way. I mean, he was at home the entire time while we were going through this process. Well, stop it.
Two highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL. If you guys had a chance to read the article about Matt LaFleur getting signed by the Packers to be the new head coach, he kind of spilled the beans saying he spoke with Aaron Rodgers just minutes before the job was officially offered to him. So, yes, if you are the franchise quarterback making a boatload of coin, it just makes it's common sense that you'd have some degree of involvement in making this decision. So everyone has to play their games because I know you don't want to make it seem like anyone's player is above the rest of the team or, in this case, the brotherhood.
But he is!
Okay, look, if I'm Dan Quinn, my butt's on the line. I got to get in the playoffs and maybe win a Super Bowl here to keep my job. So whatever Matt Ryan needs to get it done, done.
Done!
Let's not treat our fans like they're children. Let's just tell it like it is.
Anyway, that's why I wanted you to hear that soundbite. Now listen, do I think there, and I'm going to jump on the other side of this. Dan Quinn is trying to be politically correct here because, as Mike says, he cannot portray this aura that players are running it, okay? That all of a sudden you're going to your linebacker, Debo, what do you need? And he's telling you who to bring in. You can't do that.
Well, if I was Debo, I could coach. What I need is about 6'4", 320 pounds, next to Grady Jarrett, who I also need back.
Yes.
So you can keep these offensive linemen off my back because you got me here because I'm so fast laterally, sideline to sideline, and pass defense, but I can't do my job if I've got an offensive lineman at the next level on my face.
So that's where we're at, man. Either way, it's done, and this is where our Falcons are. If you missed Thomas Dimitroff, we'll let you hear more of that coming up a little bit later on in the show. NFL Blitz on the way, and just a quick preview. Andrew Luck, Mike, was asked about Pat Mahomes. Everybody's been enamored with his performance.
Right.
Is he the MVP, by the way?
Yes.
I think
yes,
so, too. Here is what Andrew Luck had to say about the guy he'll be playing against on Saturday.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. He certainly creates some amazing plays, but he also makes the routine and the simple plays. So I think his ability to really make every throw, to do the simple things well, to do the amazing things well, it's fun to watch. Certainly, it's been fun to watch on TV, and hopefully, we don't see too much of it, you know, when we're playing him. But he's fun to watch, certainly.
Andrew Luck and the Colts, and Carl and I have been talking about this all week. Red hot. Indy, by the way, 16th in passing yards allowed, tied for third in passing touchdowns allowed. They've only allowed 21 touchdowns in the air this year. Meanwhile, the KC Chiefs, that's a pass defense which is next to the bottom in almost every category. So if they can continue to protect Andrew Luck, and let's be honest, no one really respects that Chiefs defense. I mean, it's going to be Mahomes who's going to have to carry this thing because no Tyreek Hill. I mean, no, shit, that Tyreek Hill is there, but they lost the running game with Hunt.
Yeah, listen, it may be a shootout. I just think the Colts are good enough defensively to be in this game. We're going to break it down for you. NFL Blitz is on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks. It's Dukes and Bell.